Best Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Moran. On today's show, the Consumer Price Index edged higher in December and the South African Reserve Bank Monetary Policy Committee will decide on the interest rate next week, Thursday. The economist, Waldo Krichel, talks about 1 year of Trump policies. In international business news, Netflix has revised its bid for Warner Brothers Discovery. In investment news, we talk about the green economy and scalable climate-positive investment opportunities. And we're joined by the head of Business Development for Sub-Saharan Africa at DP World, Monre van Rooyen, to talk to us about end-to-end supply chain solutions to support Sub-Saharan Africa exporters and importers.
A look now at local business news.
The Consumer Price Index for December increased to 3.6% from 3.5% in November. This means that prices increased by 0.2% month on month. Housing and utilities were the biggest contributors, followed by food and non-alcoholic beverages and insurance and financial services. Despite the small increase in December, South Africa's average inflation rate for last year was the lowest in 21 years at 3.2%. The South African Reserve Bank Monetary Policy Committee meets next week for its first sitting of 2026 to decide on interest rates. Economists expect further cuts this year, but differ on timing. Some say a stronger rand and steady inflation could justify an early cut, while others believe the bank will likely hold in January and cut later, citing caution around inflation. The announcement is expected on 29 January. And last week, Thursday, marked the deadline for South African employers employing over 50 staff to submit their race-based employment equity plans under the amended Employment Equity Act and regulations. We asked the executive director for the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting, what is the anticipated impact of the companies and our economy?
Given that the amended Employment Equity Act is now in force, it applies to all private companies. This means that race and gender targets are being applied to around 7.5 million workers in the formal sector, many of whom will also be barred from appointment or advancement because of their race and gender. This legislation risks making doing business in South Africa all the more difficult and onerous, especially for small businesses, which are in many ways the driving part of the South African economy.
We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on with us. Waldo, yesterday marked 1 year since President Donald Trump came to power in the USA. What has been the effect of his controversial financial policies for the USA globally and also in South Africa?
It is actually still too early to say what his impact has been, but there are a few interesting storylines to keep an eye on. The world has been shaken by some of his decisions. The tariff wars are unprecedented, but so far the impact has been limited to specific sectors. In South Africa, motor manufacturing is the sector most exposed, but we must remember that the reciprocal tariff hit us along with our domestic service delivery challenges, expensive labor, and policy uncertainty. On a socio-economic level, his cutting of USAID money has had a major impact on public health worldwide. In the US, the economy is actually not doing badly. The big shift in last year is probably the so-called de-dollarization process. There is some loss of confidence in American government debt and the dollar as a safe haven, and central banks and institutional investors have moved money to euro markets and to gold. I want to say that no one can guess what's going to happen this year. We can only trust that it won't be catastrophic. Meanwhile, we in South Africa must work harder to get out of President Trump's crosshairs and ride the wave of a stronger rand and high gold and other commodity prices.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
Netflix has revised its bid for Warner Brothers Discovery's streaming and film business, switching to an all-cash offer worth about $72 billion. The move is aimed at providing greater certainty to shareholders as Netflix fends off a rival bid from Paramount Skydance. The Warner Brothers board says its revised offer strengthens shareholder value.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
We're now joined by the Executive Head of Strategic Initiatives and Partnerships at Sanlam Alternative Investments, Todd Micklethwaite. Sanlam Investments has positioned itself as a leader in alternative sustainable investing across Africa. Todd, looking ahead, what emerging trends or technologies do you believe will shape the next wave of green investment opportunities in Africa?
I think first and foremost, it's important for everyone to better understand global mandates, not to change the underlying investments, but to package them in ways that align with how institutional capital assesses and accesses opportunities. And that for me is the game changer in terms of accessing the next wave of green investment opportunities in Africa. I think we have to also ensure that what's investable for global capital also drives African development, whether that's industrialization or intra-regional trade, that values retained on the continent, there's an emphasis on job creation and on resilience. I think those need to underpin the next stage in the development of the green economy. But if I was to pick three specific areas, I would want to base them on scalability, on the return potential, risk mitigation, and alignment with global trends. So those three would be critical raw materials. Africa holds the key reserves for green technologies like electric vehicles and solar panels, batteries, and the like. And those are all foundational to the green energy transition, and they offer a strong export potential for Africa. The second would be data centers and digital infrastructure. Clearly, that's based on the rising demand from AI and fintech and cloud computing. And energy-efficient builds are going to be green, and they're going to be investable. The last would be green industrialization. So I think for investors, the opportunity is going to be in financing, enabling infrastructure, industrial parks and the like that really underpin the growth and also will enable value chain integration for global corporates as well. I think that while each of these are compelling opportunities in and of themselves, we must ensure that we build in ways that retain value in Africa. Growth needs to fuel local development, and it needs to fuel long-term prosperity, not just exports.
We asked the chairperson and CEO of the GMEX Group, Hiranda Misra, how he sees the relationship evolving between traditional financial institutions and decentralized platforms in creating scalable, climate-positive investment opportunities.
Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, recently said, ultimately, everything is going to be tokenized, that we should be tokenizing everything as well. And this is really, really interesting because the bulk of the activity so far has been on tokenizing existing stocks, so securities, if you may, and also tokenizing real estate assets, where we've seen a lot of activity in the UAE, for example. But the big opportunity for Africa is its real-world assets in terms of commodities. So I'm talking about assets related to water, energy, food security, as well as mineral assets with financial security. And actually, it's a really, really good approach because when you talk about this construct, think about the AI revolution. What does that need, whether it's in the US, whether it's in the UAE, whether it's China? It needs energy. And if we can produce more green energy, that's great. It needs servers in data centers that then need chips. The chips need critical minerals, and the chips also need rare earth elements for the magnetics as well. So the whole circularity of this kind of plays into our hands within Africa, because we have those natural assets, but those assets aren't necessarily in investable form. So if we create structured products or we tokenize them and we have an underlying chain of custody where the provenance is guaranteed, it allows capital to come into the asset pools that wasn't otherwise available.
Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of business development for Sub-Saharan Africa at DP World, Monray van Rooyen, to speak to us about freight infrastructure in Africa. Monray, how is DP World's investment in economic zones and freight infrastructure contributing to job creation and socio-economic development in Sub-Saharan Africa?
Very recently, we've acquired a part of the Maputo port and also rebuilt the railway between the Maputo port, the sea freight terminal, and the Komati port, the border crossing between Mozambique and South Africa. As you can imagine, rebuilding a port infrastructure requires a lot of labor, and that's to strengthen the local economy. And with that coming to a completion, not only did we create jobs, but there's also sustainable jobs to operate those ports and terminals.
What trends or opportunities do you see shaping the future of Africa's supply chains, and how is DP World preparing to lead in those areas?
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to firstly find the entrepreneurs, the developers, the brokers. That's opening up the doors for African businesses to do global trade. And our part in that is just to simplify the whole process. Because yes, if you have a brilliant product, whether it be a mineral product that you manufacture and you're sitting in the middle of Ghana, if you have people interested in buying this in Germany, in the past there was no way for you to do this business. What we do is we come in, we check your compliance with international laws of trading, we advise you on international trade terms, and we sort of hold your hand throughout the way. So all you have to do is make sure the product is available, we pretty much do the rest.
And that was the head of business development for Sub-Saharan Africa at DP World, Monre van Rooyen. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.